Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are on volume 3, July 3rd, 1900. And we're continuing the sleeping, basically sleep in the arms of your Jesus. And in this time of great fear and anxiety, this is what we need to do. We need to trust in him, believe in him, hope in him, the Lord God Almighty. And a lot of the times we become very concerned about what's happening all around us. And Jesus, as he says to Louisa, just rest in my arms and I'll take care of everything. And that's the faith that we have to have. And this is why we're focusing on resting in the arms of Jesus. While I poured out my affliction, compassioning me, Jesus said to me, my daughter, do not be concerned by your state of sleepiness. Okay, so here, this is 1900, and, you know, the Lord's been talking to her, you know, for since 1865, basically since she was born. And here the Lord has asked her to give up sleep. This is what the Lord has done. And Louisa was concerned. She says, I keep on falling asleep. She says, I'm not being obedient to Jesus. And that's the most beautiful thing about Louisa. She was always obedient to Jesus. And he says, this says that just as I am with people, as if I were sleeping, as if I did not hear them and look at them, in the same state I have placed you. So here, the Lord is saying to her that he's sharing with Louisa this sleep of the people not being awake, not being attentive, not seeking Jesus, not wanting to be obedient to Christ and his church. And he says very, very clearly, he says, this is the same state I have placed you. I want you to begin to understand that the majority want nothing to do with Jesus or his church. And she says, then he says, and after all, if you mind it, I told you last time, do you want me to suspend your state of victim? So here, the Lord asked her early on in her life, would you be a victim? She said, yes, a victim of what? A victim of the fiat of God. He says to her, what I need is I need a human born of original sin to give the fiat like my mother did, fiat mihi, like I did when he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And he says, Louisa, I need you to do this. Would you be willing to be a victim? It's giving up your human will to live in God's holy divine will. And she says, yes, I will do this. So what is this victimhood about? It's not to worry, no more worry, not to fear, not to be anxious, not to be negative, not to be complaining, not to be doubting, but trusting in God. Believing in God, hoping in God, confidence in God. See, this is what Jesus says. He says, do you want me to stop this? Do you want to end this promise that you gave to me that being a victim? So what the Lord shows us is that he's asking us also to be a victim. And that means the great thing about it is no more worry. No more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin to enter into this state. Now, no one is there fully. We all go to confession each week. Why? Because we are sinners. God alone is holy. God alone is good. And what our Lord is asking of us is he's saying, would you be willing to be like Louisa, to begin to live a life of heaven? Of peace, joy, and happiness. So the consequence of being a victim is to be happy, to be joyful, to be peaceful. And when we hear the word victim, a lot of people go, I don't want to, but this is the martyrdom of martyrdoms that God is asking us to go through. Everyone, when Adam fell, all Adam's children fell into this life of misery. And Jesus says to Louisa, now that my mother came to earth and I came to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve coming to earth to bring back this universal life, this Catholic life back to mankind. He says, would you be willing to be the first to begin to live a life of heaven? And that means don't worry. So what happens is, and she says, Lord, obedience does not want me to accept this suspension. See, because her obedience was to her spiritual director, the priest of her area. And he says, and then Jesus said, well, then what do you want from me? Be quiet and obey. So here is Jesus saying, obey your spiritual director, obey him. And she says, and be quiet. Stop complaining. Stop this negativity. What Jesus wants from us is the same thing. Be quiet and obey. What do we obey? We obey the teachings of the church, the dogma and doctrine of our faith. We listen to Jesus as he speaks to us in sacred scriptures. We listen to the dogma and doctrine of our it's the fullness of truth given to the church. And what the Lord is asking us is stop complaining. Now, many, many people complain about their priests, about their bishops. Especially in this time, Jesus said to Louisa, when the churches close, he said, I, Lord God Almighty, have closed the churches. Why? He says, because I'm tired of the sacrileges. I'm tired of the indifferences. I'm tired of being ignored. Now just think about it. Every Catholic church, you know, Jesus is there in the tabernacle. Body, blood, soul, and divinity, that flame, that candle that's lit near the tabernacle says Jesus is here. The churches are empty. John Paul II asked in 1980, every parish have Eucharistic adoration, not just for an hour, but Eucharistic adoration. That's why he, in St. Peter's Basilica, as you walk in, there is to your right as you walk in is the chapel of adoration, Eucharistic adoration. He wants us to, he says, how do we know the love of God unless we spend time with him? How do we know how much he loves us and cares for us unless we are with him? And that's what God is asking. But how many churches have Eucharistic adoration? You can find a handful of them on the internet. You can find, if you want to spend time with our Lord and you don't have it in your own parish, go to the internet, spend time with Jesus. You know, go to live adoration. And there you're spending time with our Eucharistic Lord, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him. It's not a time just to sit down and read a book, but it's a time to fall in love with Jesus. That's what he's asking. So he says this, he goes, then, well, what do you want from me? Be quiet and obey. So what are we to obey? We're to follow the teachings of the church, the guidance of the church. And, you have so much in the church to catch up on, with our dogma and our doctrine. You have so much. And our job is not to be picky, but to, as Jesus says, quiet and obey. Okay, so he says, so Louisa says, who can say how afflicted I remain? Not only this, but it seems that my interior powers were left so asleep that I live as if I were not living. So here she's saying to Jesus, I'm really concerned because you asked me to stay awake and I'm falling asleep. And she says, I'm alive, but it's as if I'm not living. She says to Jesus, I'm really concerned about this. And what does Jesus say to her? Be quiet and obey. And that's very important for us today, to be quiet and obey. Our Lady said to Luisa, how do you live in the divine will? She says, what you do is act as if it's only you and Jesus on the earth. What does that mean? It's you get a glimpse of this with Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa spent 5 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament and then 5 hours on the street. She loved God with her whole heart, mind, and soul, and then loved her neighbor as she loves herself. She put everything in order. And if we don't spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, something is wrong. If we're dealing with people and, you know, wanting to help all those around you and not spend time with Jesus, you're out of order. You're out of order. We have to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Why did Jesus give us the Eucharist? He says, because I want to be with my people. I want to be with my children. And my children don't want to be with me. He says, and so Luisa, if you read volume 25, Luisa finally spends time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Why? For 40 years before that, she was in her room. If you go to the Association Luisa Picaretta in Corrado, Italy, her room faces the north. She never saw the sun. She saw the reflection of the sun off the buildings, but she never was in front of the Blessed Sacrament as she loved to be as a child. Father Bucci showed us the place where this is where Luisa knelt. She knelt here in the church when, as a little girl, she wanted to spend time with her Eucharistic Lord. And 40 years up in the association, well, it's called the association, but her home, never being in front of Jesus. Then finally, in volume 25, she says, finally, after 40 years, now I am with you, Jesus, again. She could be in front of her Eucharistic Lord. And she says, you are my prisoner and I am your prisoner. Now, this is 1900. It's going to happen many years from now. She's trapped. She never saw the sun. And then in volume 26, when she goes out into the garden, now this is the first time in 40 years that she's out into the sun. And these are the pictures where you see she's so tanned. The sisters would tell us, Luisa always wanted to be in the sun. She always wanted the sunlight because for 40 years, she never saw the sun. She never was in the sun. And then God gave her this opportunity. And what does Jesus say to her in volume 26? He says to Luisa, this garden, they had a garden as you go out. It was east, south, and west. The sun was in this garden. And he said to Luisa, this garden is a simile of the Garden of Eden. And he says, it's not as beautiful and as flowery as what the Garden of Eden is. He says, you, Luisa, this is a beautiful thing, are now basically the third Eve. You have Adam and Eve. You have Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now it's a new era that's begun because of what God is giving to Luisa. And you basically being the third Eve, he says, not the destroyer, but the reformer, the restorer of what man had lost. Jesus and Mary, Jesus redeems, Our Lady co-redeems with Christ, now have, as they say, their newborn, Luisa. And we are all children of God. We are all sons and daughters of Jesus, sons and daughters of Mary. And what the Lord wanted from Luisa is to begin to live this abundant life. So from volume 25 to basically volume 36, this last part of this life, this universal life that they were breathing into Luisa is written. And after she left the convent, after she left the orphanage, the writings ended. She didn't write anymore. Jesus says everything is completed. And for the last 9 years of her life, she lived near the place where she lived 40 years before. So what the Lord is showing Luisa is this. She says, Be quiet and obey. Now, that's what God is saying to us. A lot of us are complaining about what's happening. A lot of people are negative about what's happening. And Jesus says, be quiet. This is not helping anyone. Trust in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Hope in Jesus. Have confidence in Jesus. The new era has already begun. And God is going to manifest this. He's going to allow us to see what he has planned. How do we know this? Well, if you listen to anything that Our Lady has said in her recent apparitions, especially in Akita, what God is saying to us is get ready. What Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947 in Rome, Our Lady of Revelation, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. The new era is coming, and we're in the final battle. We are here fighting with what? We're fighting with, as St. Louis de Montfort says, the rosary in one hand, the crucifix in the other. This is what we have. You wear the scapular. The scapular is very, very important. We're saying to Jesus, as he said to Louisa, I want to clothe you in divinity. I want to clothe you with divine nobility. That's who we are, children of God. We're clothing us with this, clothing of the great King Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the great Queen Mary of heaven and earth, Queen of heaven and earth. So wearing the scapular says to Jesus, I'm prepared for what you are going to bring to us. It's not to be worried or fearful or anxious or complaining, because Jesus says very clearly, be quiet, obey. And our job is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. We follow the teachings of the church. If they're not the teachers of the church, they don't follow them. You don't follow what, you know, anybody is saying that's contrary to the dogma and doctrine of our faith. We don't follow that. So he says this, Louisa says this, ah, Lord, have pity on me. Don't leave me. Do not leave me in abandonment in such a pitiful and sorrowful state. That's what we say to Jesus today. Jesus, don't leave me in an abandonment in such a pitiful and sorrowful state. That's where we are right now. Why? We're at war. It's good against the evil. As Archbishop Viganò said, it's darkness against the light. We're fighting. And it's fighting with love. This is what Jesus says. Jesus is saying, I'm going to breathe in you this divine love. I want you to begin to live heaven on earth. So the weapons are not weapons of war, like we know of war to be, but it's weapons that will conquer the evil one. How is it conquered? Here is love right here, hanging on the cross. Here is love right here, Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. Here is love, the newborn of this new era of heaven on earth. So Jesus is showing us what he's asking us to do is be quiet, obey, everything's going to be fine. Now, it might not seem like that at this point. We're going to go through some rough times. I mean, remember when the apostles were being tossed in the boat and the storm on the Sea of Galilee? And what happens? They cry out to Jesus, don't you care? We're going to drown. Don't you care? And the Lord woke up and he says, be quiet, be still. Who was he talking to? I think he was talking to the apostles. You don't trust me. You don't believe in me. You don't have hope in me. You don't have confidence in me. Be quiet, be still. And the wind stopped. The rain stopped. The sea calmed down. Hearing Jesus say, be quiet, be still. And they said, who is he that all of nature is obeying him? We're not. We're afraid. We're complaining. We're negative. Be quiet, be still. And so what the Lord says to us, we're in this tossing of the sea. Jesus knew that we were going to be here at this time. He knew that he chose us to be alive at this time. Why? Because he had the solution. He had the way and the how. The kingdom is coming. And that's found in the Book of Heaven that Jesus and Mary dictated to Louisa. It's, we have it. As we read this, Jesus is talking to us. Be quiet. Obey. I'm going to take care of everything, the Lord says. Trust in me. The whole reason for Saint Faustina, Jesus, I trust in you, is for this time. Do we really trust in Jesus? Or are we complaining? Are we negative? Are we upset? Are we worried? Are we fearful? Are we doubting? Be quiet and obey, Jesus says. I mean, we have to understand, excuse me, we have to understand the Lord knows what we're going through. He has planned for us to be here at this time. So don't you think he's going to give us the way and the how to get through this? And it's glorious. The more we read the Book of Heaven, the more we enter into this gift, the happier we become. Why? You begin to live heaven on earth, peace, joy, and happiness. He says very clearly to Louisa, what do you want from me? I've done everything. Be quiet and obey. Everything's going to be fine. July 3rd, volume 3, July 14th, 1900. It seems I spent a few days without being immersed in the lethargy of sleep and together with Blessed Jesus a little bit, giving a little refreshment to each other. But how I fear that Jesus may plunge me again into that sleep so profound. So here, Jesus has already told her, 11 days earlier, be quiet and obey. And here she's going, how I fear. She's afraid. See, it took Jesus quite a while to convince Louisa to be quiet, to obey. She wanted to. She was very, very attentive to what Jesus was saying. But the fear was always there. That's where we are. And Jesus is, what does he say to her? This is what's good. He says, after this morning, he, Jesus, refreshed me with milk that flowed from his mouth by pouring it into me. And I refreshed Jesus by removing the crown of thorns from his head to drive it onto mine. Okay, so here, she's talking about a divine reality. How do you explain divine intimacy with human terms? And she said, it's like a mother bird feeding the baby bird. It's like a mother feeding their child, from the mouth. This is how she explains it. So when you read something that you might not understand, don't worry about that. Jesus will explain it later as we go on. But you have to see, Louisa is talking about a divine reality with human terms. So what if she says, he poured into my mouth this milk from his mouth. So Jesus is feeding Louisa like a mother bird would feed the baby birds. And then I refreshed Jesus by taking the crown off of his head and putting it on my head, driving it into mine. So here we see this great love that Jesus has for Louisa by feeding her with this divine food, and how much Louisa loves Jesus by helping him be comforted by taking the crown off of his head and putting it on her head, driving it into her head. And she says this, and all afflicted, Jesus tells Louisa, my daughter, this is where we are today. The decree of chastisements is signed. There is nothing left but to decide the time of the execution. What does that mean? Everything's planned. Everything's ready. The time of the execution. Who's being executed? It's the evil one and his minions. They're going to be gone. The crushing of his head is at hand. Why all this struggle that's going on throughout the world? Because the evil one thinks he's going to win. This is the final battle. This is what we're in. It's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus chose, predestined us to be here. He didn't ask St. Francis of Assisi to be here at this time. He didn't ask Thomas Aquinas to be here at this time. He didn't ask any of the apostles to be here at this time. He's asked us to be here at this time. Why? Because we are the weakest. We are the littlest. We are the most insignificant. And what does he want to do? He wants to prove to the evil one that it's not humanity that's doing this. It's Jesus's holy humanity reigning in those souls at this time. That's what Jesus is saying to us. He keeps on saying to us, I want you to enter into my holy humanity. I want you to eliminate anything within you that is opposed to my holy humanity. That's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Doubting, that has to go. Why? Because the priest every day puts the drop of water in the chalice and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Jesus says, if there is within souls anything that's opposed to the holy humanity of Christ, he says, when you die, you have to be purged, purgatory, of all that is opposed to the holy humanity of Christ. Okay. Once that's done, then you can share in divinity. And until people begin to understand this, be quiet and obey, until people begin to understand that Jesus is taking care of everything, all we have to do is cooperate. That sharing in divinity is far from us. And what Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to live this abundant life of Jesus, this abundant life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And then once we enter into this, and how do we enter into this? Volume 1 through volume 10, we are called to become a divine mirror of Jesus and Mary, a divine mirror of Jesus and Mary. The new Adam and the new Eve. How do we know this? Because we just read it a couple weeks ago in sacred scripture. What we are now is children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know. But when this happens, we are going to see God as he is and become like him. That's what's coming. That's the kingdom. That's everything that you're striving for, everything that God has given to us since the beginning of the Holy Church with St. Peter and the apostles. Everything that God has been giving to us over all these 2,000 years and the 4,000 years of the Old Testament, if you want to say, everything now is ready for the new era. Everything is now ready for the heavens to come to earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The only prayer that Jesus taught the apostles. The only prayer that all Christians pray. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God has planned. And who has he asked to be here at this time? Us. And we're nobodies. We're nothings. God is everything. And what God is asking of us through the Holy Church is to be quiet. Be quiet and obey. You follow the teachings of the church. You follow the dogma and doctrine of our faith. Not to worry. God is in charge. And he is going to take lead. Don't worry. Everything is all set. So Jesus says this. The decree of the chastisement is signed. And that was 1900. There is nothing left but to decide the time of the execution. The kaputting of the head of Lucifer. And his minions. What does that mean? What happens at that time? No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. Do you see what's coming? God wants us to get ready. What did Our Lady say to Bruno? Our Lady said to Bruno, my children, are going to be in eternity, in the beatific vision, where the children of Lucifer, he and they will always be trapped in time and space. These are the words of an approved apparition of the church. What is Our Lady trying to get us ready for? The kingdom. Who is bringing this kingdom? If you listen to The Dawn of a Mystery, that DVD where Archbishop Beceri says, it's Luisa. No one on earth has been given this work to do, to bring the kingdom of God on earth as heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father. He says, this is Luisa's job. And when they got done with the investigation of Luisa, when they got done with that, and that was 2004, October 23rd, 2004, he says basically to the Vatican, we believe, the Diocese of Trani believes that Luisa should be canonized. And then they put it in the hands of the Vatican. God says in volume 13 on November 8th, I think 1922, he says, all generations will call you blessed. So we know she's going to be beatified. Blessed Luisa. I think that's what, once that happens, and once the books of Luisa, the book of heaven, go out to all the world, Jesus says the face of the earth will change. The face of the earth will be ready for the kingdom. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 24. The gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed to all the world before the kingdom can come. What is the gospel of the kingdom? That's what Jesus calls the book of heaven. So again, this is great times, glorious times that our God has given to us. So he says this, volume 3, July 21st, 1900. After spending one day being dozy and so sleepy, I could not understand myself having received communion. I felt I was going in outside of myself, but I could not find my highest and only good, Jesus. So I began to go around. She's making her rounds. Go around and around in delirium, praising God, loving God, glorifying God, worshiping God. This is what the rounds are about. Jesus says, this is how Adam prayed. Jesus said, this is how I pray. This is how my mother prayed, making the rounds. And this is why, basically, from volume 16 to volume 36, Jesus says to Luisa, you have to learn how to pray the rounds. Pray through all of creation. Pray through all of redemption. Adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God. So she says, while doing this, I felt there was someone in my arms completely veiled in such a way that I could not see who he was. So unable to refrain any longer, I tore that veil and I saw my longed for all. She saw Jesus. She was with Jesus. And she's now think about that. This is, again, we talked about this once before. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two. Okay, once the veil in the temple was torn in two, the church says that the Old Testament ended and the New Testament began. There's another veil that has to be torn. And Luisa shows us this. And what is that? What is that veil? It's from what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. The keys that were given to Peter. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, when I remember reading that the first time, I said, "What's going to be loosed on earth?" Well, I could not. I could, bound in heaven. Okay, this is what we have to do. We have to obey. This is how we have to live. Well, what is loosed? And I think, my own personal opinion, that the loosed was the closing of the churches for all the world. This has never happened before. Why? Why is this door closed? It's because God is now opening another door. This to me is the veil that's being torn the second time, if you want to say. And what's happening? Now, Jesus says, I believe the kingdom of the divine will must be known. This gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed. God is in charge. Don't be complaining. I look at everything as a new beginning for what God wants to bring about. We don't go backwards. We don't go back to the 50s. We continue to march forward. This is what is necessary. It's to march forward to embrace what the Lord has planned. Like he already said, the decree of chastisement is signed. Nothing left but the time of the execution. Now he's saying that she says, I see Jesus, my longed for awe, my everything, my love, my life, my light. And seeing Jesus, I felt I wanted to burst into complaints and nonsense. Here she is complaining again. But in order to break my impatience and my delirium, Jesus gave me a kiss. And here is the father kissing his little daughter. This is not a romantic kiss. It's a loving kiss of a father to his loving daughter. It's like when the thunder and lightning's happening outside and the child runs to the room complaining and upset and the parents hug and kiss the child. Don't worry, everything's going to be okay. That is our God. And that kiss infused in me divine life. Do you see what Jesus is doing? I want you to enter into my kingdom. I want you to enter into my life. I want you to enter into my light. I want you to enter into my love. That's what God is saying to Louisa. And he's saying that to us as well. And this is why we're focused on sleeping in the arms of Jesus. Calm broke my impatience, so much so that I was unable to say anything anymore. See, what God does, it's frightening as a child, not understanding what thunder and lightning is about. It's frightening, but you need the love of a loving mother, a loving father, to help you get through times of terror, times of being upset. And that kiss Jesus gives to us, you have to understand this. It's not a romantic kiss. Somebody said to me, "This disgusting Jesus kissing Louise." No, it's a father kissing his little daughter. How beautiful. Saying to her, with that kiss, I give you divine life. I give you divine calm. Your worries, your fears, your anxieties are gone. Trust in me, Jesus says to Louisa. Hope in me, Jesus says to Louisa. Don't worry about a thing. I will take care of everything. Just this is what Jesus says. Then forgetting all my miseries, they're wiped clean. When you go to Jesus, when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus takes care of everything. And I have many times remembered the poor people. And I said to Jesus, placate yourself. Spare so many people's torments so cruel. That's our job. Your family's afraid. Your neighbors are afraid. Your coworkers are afraid. Your parishioners are afraid. They're terrified. What is going to happen? Just like the apostles in the boat. Our job is to say, don't worry, God's in charge. Everything's going to be fine. As a matter of fact, it's not going to be fine. It's going to be glorious. The kingdom is coming. Jesus has got everything ready. This, if it's the time of execution, it's the time of the new and abundant life that God wants to give to his children. Nothing to be afraid of. The only thing to be afraid of is if you're not with Jesus and his holy church. If you're not with Mary and the holy church. You should be terrified. But if you're living the Catholic life, and the Catholic life means confession, if you're going to confession at least once a month, there's nothing to worry about. God is going to take care of everything. Trust in him. Believe in him. Have confidence in him. Sing praises to God. Glorify him. If it's the time of the execution, it's the time of the evil one being gone. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. That's what's coming. The kingdom is at hand, Jesus said, 2,000 years ago. Now with Luisa, the kingdom is here for those who want it. We can begin to live a peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy, and a happy life. Right now, we can begin to do this because Jesus said this to Luisa. He said very clearly, why I rose from the dead? Why did I rise from the dead? So that I can give this life of the resurrection to my children now before they die. A life of resurrection. St. John Paul II said this. We are a resurrected people. Live this peaceful, joyful, happy life. Live this life of praise and glory and honor to our God, our Savior, our Master, our King. So Luisa says, spare the so many people so cruel, these torments. This is what we pray to Jesus. And we help our family by saying to them, with this kiss, if you want to say, everything's going to be fine. God's going to take care of it. Don't worry. As we begin to live this resurrected life, this life of heaven, the devil can't get near us. See, fear is what he gives to us. Why? He is terrified. He knows he's going to hell for all eternity. When the evil one appears, it's cold and it smells and it's horrid. Why? He's dead. He's living dead. And when we become afraid, he's got a hook in us. There's no more hooks anymore. It's the peace, the joy of happiness of God. He says, let us go together where such things are happening, that we may comfort and console those poor Christians who are in such a sad state. This is your family. Everybody says, what about my family? Jesus says it very clearly. You do what I want and I'll do what you want. That's what Jesus says. You do what I want and I'll do what you want. Okay, what does Jesus want? He wants us to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness. He wants us to live this life of confidence in Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. He wants us to learn the way of heaven found in the book of heaven. And what do we want? Well, we worried about our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. We're worried about all. Jesus says, trust me. I'm God. I'll take care of it. Believe in me, Jesus says. I'm God. I'll take care of it. But if you don't believe, if you don't trust, how can I do this? If it's in your hands, you're not the Savior. If it's in our hands, we're going to lose. But if it's in Jesus' hands, we win. If we trust in him, if we believe in him, if we have confidence in him, everything is fine. Everything is glorious. So Jesus is saying, begin to live this life of complete trust and confidence. As he says, right at the beginning, be quiet and obey. I'm going to take care of it, Jesus says. Do we trust in him? Do we trust in him? Do we believe in him? If we do, I'm not worried about my family. I'm not worried about my friends. I'm not worried about it. I trust in him. Jesus, you said, you do what I want you to do, and I'll do what you want. I want to obey you. I want to be faithful to you. I want to begin to live this universal life, this Catholic life, the way you want me to live in peace, joy, and happiness, trusting in you, not in the situations, not in the wars that are going on, but I trust in you with complete confidence, complete. You are my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. There's nothing I want but you. That's the thing that Luisa teaches us. I remember once we're reading and Jesus says, Luisa, what do you want? And I stopped. I stopped reading. And I said, okay, Lord, this is what I want. I want to be good. I want to be holy. I want to be saintly. I want to live in the divine will. I want the kingdom established. I want. And then I said, okay, what did Luisa say? And it was very simple. She said, all I want is you. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a happy Thanksgiving.